Let's go ahead and say a prayer. Dear God, I want to thank you for another morning, a beautiful morning that is here to come gather at Calvary. We thank you for the people here. We thank you for Pastor Mike's leadership and everybody who contributes and singing and all the technology stuff and just all the stuff that everybody doesn't see that people are doing and helping out around here. We thank you for a body that is active and in trying to live out what your word tells us, God. And we just pray that you continue to help us do that. You would give us zeal, that you would give us hearts that are on fire to live for you. Like I said, it doesn't always have to be some great big thing that we're doing, but just being faithful in the little things every day and staying on the right and narrow, God. And so we pray and ask that you would be with us here this morning as we worship. We pray for all the congregations, God. We pray that the body of Christ as a whole, every church meeting this Sunday morning here across the world, would be glorifying you and would be growing and would be working towards ushering in your kingdom, God. And we just pray all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, to worship you.
Our Father, we found mercy in your sight by allowing us to come together in your name once again to worship you. Lord, thank you for those that's present this morning, Lord. Pray that the effort they put forth to be here, they'll be rewarded in a blessing as we go through this service, Lord. We pray your blessings upon this offering, Lord, upon those that give, those that are unable to do so. Bless it, Lord, to your glory, in Christ's name. Amen.
I invite you to stand again.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume me, my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river. grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your kindness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority. His throne unto His own, His anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Thank you, guys. If you have your Bible, turn over to the book of Psalms, Psalms 51. Going to be reading verses 12 and 13 for our opening this morning, but also I want to draw your attention to some of the names in the bulletin. Not that each and every one of those names doesn't need a special prayer and attention, but I do want to tell you that Rick is in hospital. He came through the surgery all right, but yesterday he was not feeling too perky. I suspect some of that really good juice that they gave him the day before was starting to wear off, you know. So continue to remember him, if you will. And then Jake is doing better, and that's good. We heard a good word from Vondale on that this morning. And then Marilyn had kind of a little episode the other day, and so we want to remember her as well, especially. And you know, there's folks sitting right next to you. All of us could use a special touch this morning. That's why we're here. Father, be with us as we seek to come before your throne of grace this morning. And we do so, Father, as we do that in humility and in recognizing the wonderful grace that's bestowed to us by the Lord Jesus. Lord, we came through the high Easter season when we talked about the resurrection of Jesus. And Lord, that's the reason why we're here. This is the first day. This is Resurrection Day. We memorialize that by coming on Sundays and not on the Sabbath day anymore. The new covenant in Christ Jesus is far better than the old covenant that was given through Moses, although reflecting the Old Testament and his work as well. Be with us now. Lord, touch lives. Those who are hearing this right here in this auditorium, maybe there are those that will be listening elsewhere. We pray that you would just speak to them And Lord, we might leave here this morning saying it was so good to be with God's people in God's house this morning, huddle around God's word. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I kind of like to have a little joy. There's too much stuff that's always weighing you down. I like a little joy every now and then. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning is joy. Because I think we all need joy. We all need joy. Every living soul on this old wet blue planet we live on, everyone needs a special touch, uplifting and embracing by the Holy Spirit of God in Christ Jesus, and that gives us joy. Now, you may be thinking, if you knew the problems that I have, that I face, you wouldn't dare talk to me about having some joy. Well, you're the person I particularly need to speak to this morning. The big reason why many people do not have joy in their lives is they're looking for joy in all the wrong places, and things, and money, and all those kind of things. David says over there in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me, what? The joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I think David had it exactly right. Many, many times, what we do as believer priests is intercept somebody that somebody else has already talked to. And they have been so full of venom and so full of griping and so full of this and that and the other thing that when the person leaves that person, they think to themselves, if that's who Jesus saved, I don't want anything to do with it. We need to let the joy of the Lord come out in us. And that means a daily, sometimes multiple times, a restoration of that joy that we have in our salvation in Him. We need to ask ourselves, then what is that foundation of joy? Many would say, well, I like to be happy. I have joy if I have lots of money. I think that if that thought has never run through your mind, then you really are an exception. But I think that we think of that. If I just had a little bit more money, Lord, that would take care of things. And it would in a certain sense, but it wouldn't necessarily give you joy and give you the fullness of joy. We had too many examples of people who had mega money, mega popularity. Robin Williams, for example. He hanged himself. That shows despair. That shows that he was in the pits of despair. He was only 63 years old. I'm older than that guy. And you say, yeah, I know that. Whitney Houston. Michael Jackson. Some of these things were drugs and those kind of things. And some of those things were put on them by their so-called friends. But nevertheless, they were young people who had lots of money, had lots of fame, had lots of quote-unquote people telling him all kinds of wonderful things. You're just marvelous, you're just wonderful, and all that kind of stuff. Could you give me another $500 million? I always think about some of the football players who made multiple millions, and Tony Dorsett was one that went from the Dolphins to the Denver Broncos, if I remember right. When he went to Denver gave him a contract for $21 million. He was broke. What happened to the 180 some million dollars he had playing football for those other guys? He had lots of friends spending it for him. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He had to go back to start playing basketball again. He retired and all those kind of things, and he had some fellows that were helping him. He thought they were investing his stuff wisely, I guess you might say. But they were helping themselves to his stuff. And he turned out that he was broke too. So we need to understand that joy doesn't have to do with a lot of stuff and physical things and all that kind of stuff. Those things are helpful. Most assuredly, it's good to go to a refrigerator this afternoon and pull out that lemonade, get yourself a nice glass of lemonade, wait for the lunch to be done and all that kind of stuff. And we're privileged like that. Probably 70% of the world would love to have what you're going to do this afternoon. Get in a car and go someplace, eat something, do whatever. Take a shower this afternoon. Lots of folks can't do that. Those things, those luxuries are not afforded to them. But they have some more joy sometimes than we have. I read the Voice of Martyrs, and I see some of these folks that are in just terrible places, China and some of these third world countries, being persecuted for their faith. And they will not give it up. I remember reading that little article, and this little lady was talking about that she'd been put in jail, she'd been beaten, whipped, and all these kind of things. And then she was released, and she went right back to worshiping, and they arrested her again and asked her what she thought she was doing. She said, "I'm worshiping the Lord. That's what I'm doing." And she was happy in that, and joy. She had joy unspeakable. So joy is not a feeling that comes and goes. It's not something that you depend upon because or you depend upon your wealth to give you. It's not even dependent upon your circumstances. Jesus tells us this over in John 15:1. He says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman." And Jesus then goes on to say in verse 7, "Abide in me." In verse 10, he said, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Listen, verse 11. "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be" what? "Full." The joy I'm talking about this morning doesn't come from chocolate cake, doesn't come from money. It comes from the Lord and that relationship we have with him. So you have a real lasting joy. We need to have the understanding that joy is a gift from God. Jesus said, "My joy I give to you." Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merciful heart," or what my granddaughter used to say, "a joyful heart." A merciful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. "Doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bone." And I remember her singing that all the time. Joyful heart is good medicine, joyful heart. Joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken... And she would go down there, "Broken spirit dries up the bones." And then she was very dramatic. She'd pause. "But a joyful heart is good medicine." She was about 7. Oh, that we could get her back to those days. No, she wouldn't like that, would she? Habakkuk tells us, chapter 3, verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." That's where real joy comes from. You see, the Bible doesn't define joy as a transient emotion at all. It's not something depending on circumstances or any of those kind of things. But it has to do with being in right relationship with the Lord God Almighty. If we have that relationship in all circumstances of life, good, bad, indifferent, terrible, we can still have joy. So I wanted to look at a couple of points on this morning. First of all, joy is a gift. God gives it. It's rooted in the certainty that no matter what happens, we are secure in his loving arms and the Father's arms. A joyful heart is good for us because it is rooted in the Lord God Almighty through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the aspect that brings real joy. Joy is like a powerful medicine that fights the fever of despair. Many of us in this economy, as we go to the store and buy groceries, have you done a little bit of that lately? Have you been shocked a little bit lately? I'm not a real good grocery shopper. Obviously, my wife sends me with that little note, and I get stuff, and she'll say, "What is this?" I said, well, that's that stuff. She said, that's not what I wanted. This is what I wanted. I'm thinking to myself, but I don't say it. Why didn't you go get it? Aha. No soup for me. Well, joy is like a good medicine. It fights the fever of despair. Many of us in this economy, as we go through and we shop and do all those kind of things, I just was filling out my taxes. Actually, I think Todd was doing that, but I was there. And I was thinking to myself, oh gosh. And my tax person, back and forth. If Todd had not been there, you know what that would have been? A disaster. I'd had to go over there and physically be in her office. And she didn't like that, you know. Can you put gas in your car? Well, you sure can, but it costs you more, doesn't it? And it's gone right back up. We haven't been talking about the price of gas much lately. I don't know why, but it's at almost all-time high. Have you paid your electric bill lately? There it is, isn't it? All these things tend to draw us down and sap us of the joy. It dries up the bones. What does that teach us that we need to understand biblically? The gift of joy is essential for our total well-being. With the realization that the scripture tells us, like in Habakkuk, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, even though the circumstances around us are not what we would like them to be, and sometimes they just shock us almost as to what's happening there. Yet even in that, we can rejoice, not in the circumstances, but in the Lord. It is a faith affirmation statement. The circumstances don't merit the kind of thinking that comes in the Lord. But if we get in the Lord, then our thinking changes, and so does our attitude, and so does our disposition. Walking with the Lord Jesus daily, God can bless. He wants to bless you. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to direct you, and he wants to do those things. I have two fine sons. I have a loving, beautiful wife who cooks, works, cleans, encourages, prays, goes to the doctors and all those kind of things, and puts up with me. I see Vonnell's really smiling over there. She's wanting to say amen. Amen. It doesn't have to be that way. There is an old hymn that says what? Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. We're going through a stormy time. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that's all. Brighter doth his spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While he leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. That's the service. That's the point. That's it. Go home, eat. Well, just a second. I got a couple more things to say. Seeking the truth. In the scripture, the Bible records for us the way that God has responded to us in difficult times in the past. Remember in Mark's gospel, a man brought to Jesus his son for healing over there in Mark chapter 9, verses 21 through 23. And then Jesus said to him, if thou can believe, all these things are possible to him that believeth. In verse 24, he says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with his tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's us, I think. That's me anyway. We need to come to the Lord. We need to embrace him fully. But we need also, in a real sense, the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit to even do that. We need to do that. We don't need to just know about something. We need to believe, trusting something, and trusting the Lord and his grace in our lives. God is more compassionate than anyone can even imagine. That's the purpose of the Lord Jesus Church. You know that? As a group of believers, we're partakers in the faith. We lean on each other. We're fellow believers. We're encouraging each other. We pray for each other, hopefully daily, and pray for those around us that need the Lord. The body of Christ is really, to the world, a visible sign or symbol that they aren't alone and you don't have to be either. God is with us, and God is more than willing to be with them if they'll embrace the Lord. Individuality has no place or purpose. God loves us individually, but he puts us in the body because we have, and we talked about spiritual gifts last week, we have spiritual gifts that God wants to give to us. I've always said, I think God is so generous and so marvelous. I think everybody has a spiritual gift. The reason I can say that is because I think everybody has multiple spiritual gifts. You know, God's not skimpy. He's not, let's give Ron just one here. No, he pours out his grace. The body of Christ, then, is a visible sign to the world that you don't have to be alone. You don't have to struggle with these things. You don't have to be overwhelmed by these things. God is with the church, and the church's attitude, belief, and how it carries itself in the times of trouble, especially individually, is the correct thing that breaks through the Holy Spirit uses in their life. We share each other's victories, triumphs, but we share each other's needs too, don't we? The good times very often kind of get overshadowed by the hard times, doesn't it? We need to be patient. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. He comforts us. He reminds us of the truth of the Scripture. One of my favorite scriptures is over in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And you probably say to yourself, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You know, I have some discretion when I do a funeral or something like that. Most of the time, people, the family might say, I'd like this or that or whatever, a couple of things. But hardly ever do I have anybody say, I don't want that scripture read. I want this scripture read. Because I always read that scripture. I always read that scripture. Psalms 34 is another one. The righteous cry in the Lord, what? Heareth them and delivers them out of troubles. I like that. It's a promise. It's a promise. Over in Job 33:26, he says, he shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto that man his righteousness. So not only does the Lord bring us and bless us, showers with his grace, but he consumes our sin and our faults and all those things, and we are righteous in his eyes. Ezra chapter 3 has another good verse. It says, with praise and thanksgiving they sang unto the Lord because he is good. Amen. Ezra 3:11, and they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endures for what? Forever. Jesus came to us in the Father's mercy and grace to give us, to bestow on us his mercy and grace. One by one, together, we are those things. The difficulties that we face as a people, the difficulties we face as a nation, those things come and go. And they don't have a whole lot to do with the president and the Senate and all those people. It has something to do with them. But the biggest thing that we're in trouble as a people is not particularly because of the president, not the Senate and the Congress and all those kind of things. The biggest thing is we as a people are not interested in the things of God. Our refrigerators are full. The air conditioning works in the summertime. The heater comes on in the winter. We have a nice, comfortable bed to sleep in. We put on a layered pair of socks in the wintertime and pull on some nice boots and go stomping around in the mud and in the snow like a little kid. We have so much physical stuff, and that's okay. The Lord is generous. But we need to recognize that these things come from the hand of God. And we live in a world that there are people all around us that hardly have any of those things. Hardly have any of those things. I don't know if you've been watching the news any, but I'm sure you have. And you see those awful pictures in Israel, of Gaza and Israel, because they're at war. I don't know if the news people realize that or not. Sometimes they say stuff that I think, where are those people coming from? It's total disaster. Huge concrete high-rise buildings lay in collapse. All these terrible things are there. Every day they're having to deal with that. Every day. It's a war. It's a war. And wars are not kind to anybody. So what should we be doing? I think we should be praying for them, don't you think? If there's an avenue, and there are, that we could link up with some of these groups that help feed and clothe and things like that, I think those are things that we can do to show that we're concerned for the people, not only of Israel, but from in Gaza as well. They need to know the Lord. Both groups need to know the Lord in a personal way. That's the world we live in, isn't it? We're supposed to be in a war in the Crimea, and I'm not sure what the Russians are doing over there. I don't know. We're on the brink everywhere, aren't we? Everywhere. And what us as a people of God in this nation need to be is strong for the Lord. Magnanimous in our behavior and prayerful in what we're doing. And trusting the Lord for His guidance in all these things. Heavenly Father, we came here today to Your house. And we expect, and I hope, Lord, that we looked at these scriptures this morning from Your Word. And we will leave this place saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord. With the people of God, singing praises, worshiping in spirit and truth, studying, open Your Word, studying Your Holy Word, hearing it from the pulpit, hearing it from the Bible study classes, touching lives. Lord, we have people that we have on our hearts right here today. We pray, Father, You will minister to them in a special way. Lord, be with us as we are Your people, and restore unto us the joy of our salvation. I want to ask you to, and amen, stand up, please. We're going to try to sing something. Hit it, Miss Rhonda. All right.
This is the day that the Lord had made, that the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
A joyful heart is good medicine. Good medicine. But a broken spirit doesn't do us any good at all. Amen? Dennis, close us in prayer, brother.
Father, thank You for the message this morning, encouraging us and to be joyful, to be with our eyes upon You, no matter what the circumstances around us, we can rejoice, even in death, in sorrow, in things that go wrong in our lives, and maybe losing a job or whatever it may be, Lord, we can still have that joy in our hearts because of what Jesus has done for us. Thank You, Lord, for that life to come. If we know Jesus and we've been born again, we have that new life. We'll spend eternity with You in heaven in glory. No sickness, no death, no sorrow, only joy. Help us, Lord, to grow in that in our lives, to be joyful. We might reflect the Lord Jesus Christ to those around us. Lord, we do pray today for our nation, those that we've placed in leadership positions, that you might give them the wisdom that they need to make good decisions for all people. And Lord, we do pray for the peace in Jerusalem. You've commanded us to do that. They're your people. You love them. Lord, sort through all of that junk that's going on over there. Bring peace to Israel. And we'll thank you and praise you today, leaving here with joy in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.